The scripture for today is from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, and can be found on page 6 in your bulletin. Therefore, as God's choice, holy and loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be tolerant with each other, and if someone has a complaint against anyone, forgive each other. As the Lord forgave you, so also forgive each other. And over all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The peace of Christ must control your hearts, a peace into which you were called in one body. And be thankful, people. The word of Christ must live in you richly. Teach and warn each other with all wisdom by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in speech or action, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and give thanks to God the Father through him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Deb. So today is the end of our worship series and stewardship series that we've titled Plenty. We've talked about what it means for us to be a people who have plenty of time and talent and treasure. We've looked for the positive ways in which this becomes the good work of God's kingdom in each one of us, because we believe it's a powerful expression of our faith to give from our plenty. It means that we have faith in God, in God's mission, that it means that we believe in the church that we are a part of as an agent that impacts the world around us. And so we have plenty, and we are thankful, hopefully, for that as we conclude our worship series this week, to talk about what it means for each one of us to be thankful. Thankful for the opportunity to give of our time. Thankful for the spiritual gifts that God has enabled us with that serves our community and the world beyond. Thankful that we are overseers of great treasure that God has given to each one of us. What it means for us to be thankful. To count our blessings, as you might say. Early on in Margaret and I's life together, we started looking for a church, and because we came from two different traditions, Baptist and Catholic, if you didn't know, those are different traditions, by the way, quite distinct. We started going to Methodist churches in the Lee Summit area, and we went to Aldersgate Methodist Church. And the nice thing about Aldersgate in that time was they had an alternative service. It was a contemporary service for them. And we began to join there and worship in their contemporary service. And, of course, you all know I got called into ministry. So we've spent our life in five different churches together. A couple of them have been traditional. One was a little country church that couldn't afford a band anyway, right? So, but they had traditional worship. And here, of course, has traditional worship. But most of the rest of the time, the places that we have served have had contemporary. And that's kind of been our genre that we went to together and we enjoyed together. And we listen to Christian music on the radio, primarily K-Love and Air One, which are contemporary Christian music. Now, the interesting thing, though, is I wasn't raised on contemporary Christian music. I, like almost all of you, was raised on hymns. The church that I went to, the Baptist church I went to, we started out with three hymns, right? And then we had Just As I Am as the invitation. You had a chance to respond. And then we closed with a hymn. So we sang hymns. And I'm used to hymns. And if you think about the hymns that we sing, there's often some that come from a variety of different genres. One of them is some hymns of thankfulness. How many of you remember singing the hymn, Count Your Many Blessings, right? A number of us. The refrain of it is count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done, right? The whole idea of us being a people who count our blessings, who are focused on the blessed side of life, to be able to name them as a conscious act of recognition of what God has done for us, to be able to connect them to our relationship with God. I think of it from our Methodist heritage in the doxology. You know, every Sunday as we give thanks to God, we praise God from whom all blessings flow. We are invited along with all of creation to give thanks to God in that moment. God who is Father, Son, and Spirit. We take that opportunity as well to acknowledge the blessings that are in our lives. Another hymn that's in our tradition is hymn number 87, and it's titled, What Gift Can We Bring? And it starts out with a question, right? What gift can we bring? What present? What token? What words can convey it? The joy of this day. What grateful, or when grateful we come, remembering, rejoicing, what song can we offer in honor and praise? That's the first line is a question, and then the next three stanzas are the answers to it. We give thanks for the past. We give thanks for tomorrow. So the gift that we bring is a present token. Words that convey the joy of this day. Grateful we come, remembering, rejoicing, the song we now offer in honor and praise, right? To think about what it means for us to be a people who cognitively think of the blessings in our lives, right? To be reminded of the power of those, to sing about them, to give God thanks for them, our time, our talent, our treasure as God's good gifts, right? I often have an opportunity to sit at Jessica's desk. Periodically, she has moments where she's gone out of the office, and so we kind of all take turns to sit there and make sure that people are able to gain access to the building. And if you've ever sat at Jessica's desk, you will notice that she has these little phrases taped to different parts of her monitor and around her desk and things like that. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to sit there for a little while, and I noticed some of them and took note of them and wrote them down. I wanted to share a couple of them with you this morning. One of the phrases that she has taped says this. It is 1 Corinthians 13 and Galatians 5:14 name love as the foundation of all Christian virtues, right? Now, the author of this also suggested that thankfulness runs a very close second, and that if you do not possess thankfulness, then you cannot possess genuine love in your life. Thought that was an interesting kind of perspective or quote. One of the other ones that she has on her desk is a quote from Cicero, who once said, gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of them all. To think about what it means for us to be a people who are thankful, to believe that thankfulness is the key ingredient to goodness that happens in the world, to understand that thankful people can be generous people, right? Or in the vernacular of our former bishop, Robert Snasey, that thankful people can be extravagantly generous people in what they give. And to be able to understand that and see it as a movement in our lives. I read a story about a prominent pastor who was a nationally known. He had a little televised program in his region of the country. He and his wife went on a short little vacation to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And while they were on their vacation, they took the opportunity to dine at one of the restaurants. And they were sitting next to this nice window, able to look out on the beauty of nature. And they were enjoying their dinner. While they were having dinner, a young pastor, about 20 years old or so, came up to them and introduced himself. And he said to the senior pastor, the older pastor, I recognized you, just wanted to quickly introduce myself to you because I watch your broadcast, your television broadcast, and every time that I watch it, I am blessed by your words. And I wanted to say to you, thank you. My wife and I are here. We are evangelists ourselves, and we're kind of on a little vacation, but we saw you. We wanted to say hi, and he pointed to his wife who was standing outside at the picture window. She was waving at him, and they were waving back at her. But as they turned back around to look at this young man, he slipped them a $100 bill. He said, I want to pay for you and your wife's dinner, right? Now, the older pastor was sitting there thinking, and he says in the story, he says, a couple of thoughts ran through my brain. First was the fact that neither one of these two young persons looked like they could barely be out of high school, let alone young evangelist, and they didn't look like they had $100 to give away, right? And he said the other thing, too, was that $100 actually could pay for four of their dinners. And those are the thoughts that were kind of going through his head. So the elder pastor thanked the young man for being generous, but tried to give the $100 back to him. And the young man looked at him and said, no. please give me the privilege of doing this for you. Give me the opportunity to thank you for your ministry. The perplexed older pastor looked at his wife afterwards. He slid the $100 bill across the table and looked at his wife and said, "Why don't you take it and go buy yourself something nice?" And she pushed it back and she said to him, "No, let's just keep it as a reminder of the goodness of God and the thankful generosity of others." Right? Thankfulness. I wish we lived in a world that had a little bit more thankfulness to it. Amen? Right? I read an article recently about the modern human psyche and where we kind of find ourselves today. It was interesting that the number one thing they say that people suffer from today is the side effects of unmet expectations. That we, many of us, have become so focused in on our own kinds of little world and expectations. That people are disgruntled about the world. They're disgruntled about life, society, even the church itself, because we're not very good at meeting everybody's expectations. You know, I kind of wrestled with this a little bit and came to the conclusion that in some ways, the articles are right. How we live based upon some of our expectations, right? How many of you are paying attention to every single pitch of the World Series right now? Anybody? Right? Probably not anybody in this crowd. David is? Well, good for you, David Seisman. For the other 99 of us that are here this morning, right? Our Royals didn't make the World Series. They didn't meet our expectations this year. So why would I want to watch another team play in the World Series? I mean, unless you're a stalwart fan of baseball, right? But you also think about organizations, the number of organizations who do employee satisfaction surveys. We're trying to gauge the level in which our employees' expectations are being met so that we can decrease turnover in our organizations. Or you think about interpersonal relationships, dating and marriage. The number one cited cause for breakups in relationships are irreconcilable differences, aka unmet expectations, right? We humans, we have a tendency sometimes to operate in our own little confined worldview. When circumstances and people meet our expectations, give us what we need or what we think we deserve, then everything is right as rain in our lives. It's when circumstances and people begin to not meet our expectations, they don't give us what we think we need or we deserve, that the train goes off the tracks, right? I started thinking about this. Have any of you ever met a thankful narcissist? Anyone? Right? When we become so focused in on ourselves and our own expectations, we lose the power to be thankful. And when we're not thankful, I think we lose the power to be generous as well. I believe that part of the genius of Paul and Pauline-style writers is their consistent pointing to the fact that we humans, we are not the center of the universe. Christ is. And Christ is supposed to be. The words of time and time again are pointing to each and every one of us needing a conversion of our hearts, our minds, and our behaviors. Their words continue to point out that Christ should and needs to be the center of our lives. Their words continue to point out that community doesn't exist to meet our expectations and needs. We exist to serve God through our community and serve the needs of the world around us. For us to grasp that and understand that as the power of life. Of course, the writer of Colossians begins with kind of a premise of what forms this for each and every one of us. And he does so by a set of qualities that must remain within us, must be inhabited by every single one of us. He says that things like compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness, and love, these qualities must come forth in us. They are the abundant fruit of a congregation that finds itself rooted in the rich and nourishing soil of thankfulness. When we are thankful, we're capable of inhabiting these kinds of characteristics, not only as individuals, but as a community. And they empower us. This fruit empowers us to serve in word and in deed as full representatives of Christ in the world. And that should be the highest goal for every single one of us. Amen? to be a representative of Christ in the world. I think about this. You as the people of St. John's, you don't need to see more of Jim Hoffman. What you need to see is more of Christ coming through Jim Hoffman. Right? And if you think about that, the world, your co-workers, your neighbors, they don't need to see more of you. They need to see more of Christ coming forth through you as an expression in the world. If you and I are not grateful, if we are not thankful, then I don't believe Christ can come forth through us in the way the world needs to see Christ. So I would suggest to each one of us that rather than thinking about the bad things, the negative things of the world around us that keep us from being thankful, that we begin to start counting our blessings each and every day, that we name them one by one, that we allow ourselves to be more thankful because we are cognitively thinking about the blessings of God in our lives. I took note this week of some of the things that I am thankful for, and I want to share with you my short little list, right? I give God thanks for every single one of you. When I think of you, when I read your name somewhere, or I see your picture in a directory, or see your name in an email, I give God thanks for you. I think about your gifts, your wisdom. I think about your longing and your searching for a deeper connection in a community, for your commitment to Christ and Christ's mission in the world. I give God thanks for all these expressions for each one of you. I give God thanks for those who tend and clean and dote on our building and our grounds and do these wonderful things to keep up the appearance of St. John's itself. I think about those and give thanks for those who volunteer behind the scenes without any expectation of ever being up front and formally recognized. They do it because they have love for you and for this congregation. I give thanks for my family that willingly goes on this journey and moves from community to community to community to community to community, right? I give God thanks for my wife and my children. I give God thanks for the team that I am a part of, even though I have to constantly micromanage what they do. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a joke. I'm glad you guys got that. Right? But how about you? If you took just a couple of moments and you opened up your worship guide to those little lines that are in there that we give you, what would you write down as the things that you give God thanks for? What would you put on your list? I want to ask you a couple of questions. Number one, would the opportunity to give generously to God be on your list? Would that be one of the things that you would count as a blessing, right? There's a story about a preacher who had a very distraught man who came to his office one day. And the man sat down in a chair across from him and he said, "You know, when I started out working, I was making about $20,000 a year. And at that time, it was really easy for me to tithe on that. I could give $2,000 to the church. It was no big deal, right? But now that my salary has jumped up to $150,000, I'm finding it more and more difficult to tithe at 10% of my current salary because I just can't see giving the church that much money." The pastor looked at him and said, "Well, how about we take some time to pray? And we pray that God put you back in that job where you were only making $20,000 a year so that it'll be a little less stressful on you, right?" Are you thankful for the opportunity to give generously out of what God has given you as your treasure? And number two, would the opportunity to serve in Christ's name be on your list? The service that you are a part of, would you give God thanks for that? Would you name that as one of your blessings? We all know who Albert Einstein is. He's well known for his theory of relativity. He also made major contributions to the fields of quantum mechanics, statistical mechanics, and cosmology. For a long time, Einstein had two portraits that hung on the walls of his office. One of them was of Sir Isaac Newton, and the other was of James Clerk Maxwell. But towards the end of his life, he took down those two portraits and replaced them. He put up a portrait of Albert Schweitzer and another one of Mahatma Gandhi. Now, someone stopped by his office after he had made the switch, and they asked him what it was that caused him to do this. And he said that he had discovered that life was all about service, not science. Albert Einstein is known for saying, only a life lived for others is a life worthwhile. So would serving others make your list of the things that you are thankful for? As we wrap up our worship and stewardship series, here's what I hope you take away from our conversation on Thanksgiving this morning. Right? In our worship traditions, we sing and we practice the concept of being grateful, thankful to God. The Pauline writers talk about virtues, and while Paul promotes love as the greatest of virtue in his writings, we might also, hopefully we do today, see the importance of thankfulness. That thankfulness may be one of the foundational kinds of virtues that helps us live out all the rest of the others. So today, I hope you take time to count your blessings, to name them one by one, and to give thanks to God. Here's your invitation for today. For those of you who are members and regular attenders at St. John's, you know that today is Commitment Sunday. You received a letter from the church this week, along with a commitment card. And so the invitation this morning is for you to do these things. Number one, count your many blessings. Name them. Give thanks to God. And then engage in your community of faith through your time, your talent, and your treasure, as you indicated on your commitment card. I'm going to ask the ushers to come this morning as they prepare for our morning offering. As they do so, the first thing I want to do, as I do each Sunday morning, is thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your faithfulness and for your generous gifts that you give to God. But I also want to encourage you today to present your commitment card for 2018. If you brought your completed commitment card, great. Simply place it in the offering plate. If you forgot it, don't fret, because we put blank ones in each one of the rows, and you can grab one of those, and if you feel comfortable, fill it out in this moment, place it in the offering plate as it comes by. In all things, in giving and receiving, let us count our many blessings. Let us name them one by one, and let us give thanks to God for all that God has done. Amen.